Hello and welcome back to 40 days and 40 nights on the Camino with Jamie, the long distance coach. This is your host, this is the author, Jamie Wallace. So the next day in Santiago, I had a good night's sleep. My feet are starting to feel a little bit better as well. I've identified the issues and I took an anti-inflammatory pill to help with the pain, as it was difficult for me to apply pressure onto my heel. I went downstairs to get some breakfast, and it was good just sitting outside, having breakfast, having my tostada with the tomatoes and the olive oil and the salt and the pepper, and just watching the pilgrims making their final steps of their journeys. It actually felt quite emotional. I don't know why I was. Maybe it was just because I was maybe like a sense of achievement that I've done that. I know what that feels like. Go on, you're not far away from the end. You can do it. You know, you've got 2 kilometers to go, 3 kilometers to go. Just keep going and you'll get there. So after kind of checking out, I took the bus into town and I started to buy some souvenirs for the family. I also found somewhere I could print off my boarding pass for the day, because I was flying out to Madrid and then from there on to Glasgow. I got a pack of Spanish Camino playing cards, a notebook, a Galician tin of sweets for fortune, and I posted them at the post office. I bought some t-shirts for me, and on my way to the bus I bumped into Finn and Thomas. Now, remember when I was in Ocobrero, and as I mentioned that I bumped into a couple of Irish boys? This was Finn and Thomas. So we chatted for a few minutes and they were totally gobsmacked that I'd managed to pull off a couple of Compostelas from down the walk. So they were like, go you. So they were just on their way to get their luggage because they were getting home to Derry that day. At 5 o'clock, I took a bus back to the hotel, but I had my bath and relaxed. And then about 8 o'clock, I went across the road, got some pizza and a hot dog. And then I went back into my room with a beer and ice for a cream liqueur made locally that I had bought in the shop. So yeah, I thought I'd maybe checked out, but obviously this was the day I was just preparing to travel. So the next morning, the next day I was obviously going to be flying out. Around 11 o'clock that night, I got a message from Fortune. He had a bad dream and he woke up. He had a bad dream about waking up in an alberg. We had a good frank chat that day. He goes back to the army on the Thursday and he tells me to hang up my necklace till we meet again. Somehow I don't think this will help with how I feel, but I know I'm going to worry until he retires to the army in January. So yeah, we'd made some plans to meet up again, but it could only be once he'd kind of retired from the army. Because that was going to take up quite a bit of his life. I guess that's the thing about freedoms and life's decisions, and in some countries you don't have a choice of, you know, conscription. I guess sometimes you have to just, you're obliged to do military service or civil service, and this is, you know, for him, this was something that he had to see through. So knowing that we both managed to achieve, you know, a lot of good things along our ways, that this is now our paths were about to part again, and one day in the future we'll meet up again and we'll be able to catch up with life, and it's not going to be what the dreams or the romantic visions that we were having initially, but we had to be realistic about things. And coming to that kind of frank chat of this is just the way things are going to be. We don't live in a fairy tale world, and life will eventually consume us again. But hopefully we can take away the good stuff from our experience of walking the way and be able to use that to our advantage, and so that the layers of life don't totally submerge us and take us back to the bad places that we once had found ourselves in. So the next day is the day I actually checked out of the hotel. I had a coffee con leche with tostada with tomato for breakfast before taking the bus back into town. I headed to the Pilgrim's office and I put in my bag for €2 and I went up the stairs to room 6 to see if there were people chatting about their experiences on the way. There was posters downstairs that if you go up to room 6, you can talk about your journey with someone, and there'd be a cup of tea on your way. And it was just Colette, who was a volunteer, and she offered me a cup of tea, and then she made me an Irish cup of tea, but it was Barry's tea. We chatted about my experience in the Camino and just about life in general. And then Sister Mary comes into the room. She came in and we got chatting, and she had connections with Bovell, which isn't far from where I was born and brought up. She told me I was discerned about my future. Then Noel, who was one of the kind of helpers, he was from Australia, he came in and he said that he'd heard news about the cathedral closing in October for 7 months. He said it's going to be closing for roof repairs and that a new building or some new renovation work was going to be done for the volunteers at the in the welcome centre. So that was the topic of the day, really. After the tea and the chat, I went to the cathedral one last time. Sister Mary says, go along to the cathedral again, and it's going to be closing, so you might as well just take one last look at it, even though you've been before. The significance of Sister Mary telling me that I was discerned about my future, that's going to have some significance to me in 2021 when I come to a realization. So 3 years later, I would come to a realization that resulted from just her saying that. So it's funny how life you build makes these connections. So I went to the cathedral. I wasn't planning to go to the cathedral because I'd been there, but on the guidance, on the wisdom of Sister Mary, I said, yeah, why not? When in Rome, you know, or when in Santiago. But this time the place was packed, so busy. I mean, the last time I was there, I was quite fortunate that it wasn't that busy, you could get walk around. This place was so busy, and I'd actually arrived at the end of the mass that had been held, and they were at the stage where they were doing the communion side of things. So that's when I decided I'll go down and have a look at the reliquary of St. James again. And then as I came out of the, it was like an underpassage, so where they keep it underneath the main altar. And then as I came out of there, there was a lot of stirring and whispers and a lot of excitement in the room. And then my wee heart starts to go like this, boom, 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 boom. And I'm going, oh my God, like, really? No, it can't be. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is. So basically, if you've done research about the cathedral, this is the place where very seldom they will have this big incense burner, big kind of like vase that they fill with incense. It's smoky. And they use this, and there's about half a dozen folk of them pulling on these ropes to swing this big, I think it's called a fumerio or something like that, big incense burner into the kind of, along the kind of building, length of the building, and just over the heads of the people down below. And this is a spectacle that very rarely happens. And the next official time was going to be like in September, maybe 2 or 3 months down the line. There was nothing scheduled for this. But this is what was happening. They were preparing this big incense burner, and I wasn't supposed to be there, but this is like the last miracle of my way, and that I got this special moment where I got to experience this. And it's because I found out later that an American had paid a donation to have it swung. So here was me actually seeing this incense burner fumerio being swung in the cathedral. And it's one of the things that I'd always wanted to see since knowing about the Camino de Santiago. And I was gutted that I wasn't going to see it, but all of a sudden I was here and I was seeing it. It was just an amazing moment in my life to be in the right place at the right time yet again. And it just told me that I'm on the right path. This is the right path that I should be taking. This is a sign. And I was guided into that cathedral on this path at the right moment. And I was able to share this moment with Fortune, and it actually made him cry. It's just such an emotional, spiritual experience that I was so delighted to be able to share that moment. The Camino de Santiago, it really does provide, even after completing the journey and getting your Compostela. There afterwards, after all that excitement, and I just feeling happy and elated, you know, happy again. Went to find somewhere to print off my other boarding pass. And then got my bag, retrieved my bag from the welcome center, and had one final pilgrim meal. And while I was having my meal there, it was close to the Plaza de Galicia. So this, while I was having my final meal, Swiss guy from Casa Susi and from Pontefract, we met, and he was really happy to see me. And he told me that he'd actually arrived early enough that day that he got one. So there's this really posh restaurant that gives away, I think it's about 10 meals, 10 breakfasts or 10 lunches, 10 meals a day or something like that. So a very limited amount of pilgrim meals. And Raphael managed to get one of these certificates when he managed to get the meal. So he was just about to go and get his meal. And then we bumped into each other. And we shared a drink together. And I got him to sign my book. And he was so happy to see me. Like, and he told me that he reflects back on that moment, that how he felt so bad. He feels guilty about how he felt that time. You know, like, we wished that I'd been someone else that had turned up, because he really needed to get some decent sleep, and then having to go outside and camp and sleep. But he told me that out of his kind of experience, that I was something that the experience he had with me was, it made him learn about more about himself and to be more patient with people, to be more understanding. And he said he worked on himself. Obviously he got meaning from it, and he was really, I mean, honestly, he was so happy to see me. We really did enjoy a great meal together, or sorry, a great drink together. And it meant a lot. It really did mean a lot to hear him say that, and he even wrote it as well. So yeah, Raphael is top bloke. So that was me. After that, I basically headed my way towards the square, Praça de Galicia, to get the airport bus. I got on the bus about 6:30, and that got me into the airport for 7:15. On the way, I passed the train station and 3 hours wait until my flight, and then arrived in Madrid. So I've got about a 6 hour wait for my flight overnight. So I should be in Glasgow by 8:00 the next morning. While I'm waiting at Madrid airport, I basically was the only person asleep in this terminal. I was doing my best to sleep, but there was all this work going on. And if you've ever tried to sleep at an airport, it's not the easiest and the most comfortable thing to do. So many staff taking their lunch breaks at 2:00 in the morning and things like that. I ended up deciding to pack away my sleeping bag, and I ended up just playing my cards, playing some music. I charged my phone using their desks, drank coffee from the machine and hot chocolate. Eventually my gate was displayed about 5 in the morning, and then I went to get my plane. I just sat down at the gate when a girl from Madrid, she stays in Edinburgh, and she works as a waitress in Edinburgh, and she sat down next to me and started chatting away, as she does. And then she was totally in awe that I'd just finished doing the Camino de Santiago. But she was so disappointed that I hadn't eaten any, she calls it cecina, C-E-C-I-N-A, cecina, on my way. So she recommended that I do try this cecina. She went into her bag, she opened up a packet of cecina that she was taking back to her in Edinburgh, just so that I could try this cooked ham. So I arrived in Glasgow about 8:00 that day, and I took the last train home that day. And that concludes my story of my 40 days, 40 nights on the Camino. And I hope you enjoyed the story, what I learned and from the episodes. And I'll come back with another episode just to kind of summarize on the main points. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Tune in again tomorrow for the next episode.